ラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタッタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are sharing how you can recreate your favorite ready-to-wear clothes by making a pattern from the original garment. There are a few methods you can use, including one that does not harm the original piece. We also discuss making an entire outfit based off an inspiration image.
No clothing was harmed in the making of this podcast.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Helen.
How's it going?
That was weird.
We're going.
It's going great. How about you?
Good.
Yeah.
Got some coffee in me. Feeling good.
Yeah. Feel a little wired?
Just a little. All right. We want to start things off by reminding you guys that we are doing a survey to learn a little bit more about you. It's not a sewing survey. It's a third-party survey that was recommended to us by some experts in the podcasting world. We're trying to grow the show. And so we've been getting some advice. And one of the things we've learned is that it's good to do a survey about your audience. So we have that available to you. About 800 of you have already filled it out, which is amazing. We are so grateful. And we'd love for you to give us your thoughts if you have a chance. It's going to ask you questions about demographics and income and what you like and don't like about the show. And you can answer as many of the questions as you feel comfortable answering. They're not required. So if you're interested, you can find that on our website. You can find it in our show notes, in our Instagram profile. Basically anywhere you can find us, you will find our survey. So we would so appreciate you taking the time to do that.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Please and thank you. Okay, this next thing is really exciting.
Ooh, can we
We're hiring!
Can you believe it?
No.
And by we're hiring, we're not talking about Blackbird Fabrics or Helen's Closet. We're talking about the podcast.
Love to Sew is hiring a creative assistant.
Love the title.
Podcast assistant.
Podcast assistant, creative assistant.
Yes.
All around, probably going to become our favorite person in the whole world.
Yeah, that's the idea. We're so excited about this because obviously Helen and I are both running businesses full time outside of this podcast, and Sam has been an amazing part of the team, but we are feeling like we're ready to just get a little bit more help in all aspects of the show. And we really want to find somebody who actually listens to the podcast and who is familiar with the wonderful sewing community and who loves to sew themselves. And because this is a remote part-time position, it's very flexible. So we're kind of opening up this pool.
Globally.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is amazing.
I'm so excited. So like I said, it's a remote part-time position. And just to give you guys an idea of what this person will do, they're really going to be assisting us with all aspects of the podcast. So we're talking episode prep, guest coordination, inbox management, social media scheduling, sponsorship development, website maintenance, copywriting, and helping us develop exciting new projects and products that we have had kind of on the back burner for a really long time because we just don't have the time to get to everything we want to get to. So essentially, this person is going to help us grow and continue to make the podcast amazing and
even better.
Yeah, exactly. Even better. Make it even better.
Yeah. Every week, you and I put a lot of time and energy into the podcast, and it will be amazing to have a third person who can dedicate that much more time to things, especially like episode development and social media, because we want to do more of those things, but it's limited. So that's why it's so exciting to be able to bring someone on board to help with those things.
Yes. So if this sounds like it might be a good fit for you or maybe somebody you know, hit us up. We are going to have all the info on our website in the show notes. We'll probably share on social media as well the week that this episode comes out. You have about a month to get your resume and cover letter to us. The deadline to apply is July 5th, and we cannot wait to meet you, read about you, and find the perfect person to do this job.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. I think
we're going to get a lot of applicants. It's probably going to be hard.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I think it's going to be really fun.
All right. And what do you have going on at Blackbird? Because I know you want to share some exciting things with us.
Yes. I just had to share on here that we have launched our July and August workshops. And I am really pumped about these workshops. We have a pretty busy month. There are a lot of fun classes or pretty busy couple of months. So I just want to quickly tell you guys what we're going to be teaching in July and August. We have a Wixton shift class, Yanta overalls class. So, oh yeah, you're teaching that.
Sure am.
Sew your own undies, sew your own t-shirt. We've done those classes before. They've been super successful. So really excited to offer those again. Beginner sewing. So if anybody out there is local and has a friend or family member that has voiced interest in learning how to sew, this class is for them. We've designed it and tailored it specifically for people who want to get into garment sewing. I'm so excited about that class because I want to bring more people into the world of sewing.
I love
it. Recruit them. And then we also have a block printing class, and we have squeezed in a last minute addition, which is swimsuit sewing. It's going to be a 2-day weekend intensive with Tara from Five of Hearts Studio. She just finished teaching a bra making workshop with us recently, and she was amazing. So we had to have her back this summer to teach swimsuits because she makes a lot of swimsuits and she's amazing at that too.
Cool.
So go to our website. You can check out the workshops tab. Everything will be listed there. I will say there are a couple of classes that are almost sold out.
Yanta's almost gone, guys.
Yanta might be sold out by the time this episode comes out, but maybe we'll offer it again in the fall.
That would be fun.
It has been the most popular one in this batch. So.
Yay. And I'm taking the block printing class. So if anyone wants to come and take it with me.
Yes.
I totally signed up.
The block printing class. We're actually in the midst of doing a team block printing class. We had the teacher come in and teach it just to the team. It's a small, kind of intimate 6-person class. And you, one night you're carving your blocks. The second night you're actually printing a meter of fabric enough to make like a little tank or something or a tote bag. And you're going to get to do the whole process from start to finish. It's really fun.
I can't wait.
Very creative, very, very hands-on and
super
exciting.
Super pumped.
I'm so pumped.
All right. Thank you for sharing your workshops. Very exciting.
You're welcome.
And we have a couple of voicemails that we wanted to share with you guys. The first one is from Laura.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. My name is Laura, and I'm calling you from Texas. I wanted to call you because I was listening to your show today about why we love to sew. I'm a medical provider, and I have a special focus on treating patients who are considered vulnerable populations, substance abuse, psychiatric illness, but especially young women. I was calling because I had an experience of having to tell a very young woman that she had a chronic medical problem, that she was diagnosed with HIV. In doing so, we talked a lot about her self-esteem issues. And I accidentally just said, hey, have you ever thought about learning to sew? Which I then thought, is this totally inappropriate? But it was such a great experience for her. When listening to this show, I thought about how much we love to sew and how much we love Me Made May. We love it so much, but what about You Make June? I don't have the platform to spread this around, but I know that y'all do. If we could even just tell people on our platforms how much and why we love to sew, or even better, teach them how to sew themselves. Sewists are such great people. I know they want to share this joy. We get so much benefit from this hobby, and so many more people could benefit from it too. Anyways, it's just a thought. It's kind of late in May right now to be doing that. So maybe 2020 could be You Make June. Just a thought. Thanks so much for all your hard work. I've been there since the beginning. I was the person who accidentally left a review that you were perfect for sexist of all levels. But I did get iTunes to change that. So thank you so much for all the hard work you put into this podcast. It's the highlight of my Tuesdays. And thank you, Sam. Hope y'all have a great sunny day. Bye.
Laura,
I remember that comment. One of the first we ever got.
Yeah.
And autocorrect does often change sewist to sexist. It's unfortunate.
It's never not funny, though.
It's true.
Well, thank you so much. I absolutely love the spirit of this voicemail. And I'm on board. The idea of continuing Me Made May into the future and beyond really floats my boat.
We're both just riding the high of Me Made May. And I love the idea of continuing it into June. And any day that you want to share what you're wearing, it doesn't have to be a perfect day. You don't have to look super presentable, Instagram ready. You know,
yeah.
You can just share what you're wearing in your mirror selfie. And it's just so great to see what people are wearing and what they've made. So you can use the hashtag Me Made Every Day. That's a popular one.
Yeah.
If you want to continue the Me Made May trend. And then she was suggesting You Make June, which is a great idea for a hashtag. We can encourage our friends and family to learn to sew. I know that I always get a lot of interest when I share stuff online from my friends and family saying they want to get on board too.
Our next voicemail that we're going to play is from Abigail.
Hey y'all, it's Abigail from Atlanta, Georgia. I was just calling to say thank you to Helen for using the word improved when discussing her new size range. I hadn't really ever heard it phrased as improved or inclusive. There are always surveys for curvy sewists when indie pattern companies are expanding their size range, and there's typically one question on there that always asks, do you prefer to be referred to as curvy, as plus size? Do you prefer this new size range to be called expanded or extended size range? And none of those ever seems quite right to me. So I just wanted to say thank you for using the word improved and inclusive, because that really does seem like more of the right fit. I also wanted to ask both of you if you had any opinions on whether or not a plus size, curvy, big, extended size range person who has already purchased a pattern from an indie designer, even though it wasn't technically their size, but they hacked it so that it would work and be their size. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about whether or not the customer should have to rebuy the pattern just so that they can get their size, or if it should be more of an updated version for PDFs and stuff like that. Anyways, I just wanted to thank you, Helen, and get your thoughts and opinions on that question, y'all. Have a wonderful day.
Well, I totally agree with Abigail about the term improved size range. I think that's a really great way to refer to this fresh size range that you've released, and that I think a lot of indie pattern designers are going in that direction. And I mean, at the end of the day, it is improved.
Exactly. And also new is a good way to describe it. It was interesting when I did my survey, I asked similar questions that Abigail was talking about, you know, plus size versus curvy, extended, expanded, talking a lot about language, and people embrace different words for referring to their body type. And also a lot of people don't have words to refer to their body type, because we're all just people and we don't necessarily need to be in two different camps and two different size ranges. And even if your pattern line has two different ranges that maybe you're selling separately because you do paper patterns, or however you're choosing to approach it, it is going to be different for every pattern company. You know, you don't necessarily have to have kind of divisive language for those two sizes. It can be one inclusive or more inclusive range. And I try to stay away from also saying my size range is now inclusive, because much like how sizes don't stop at 20 or 22, they also don't stop at 30, you know, and people are bigger than that as well. You know, people come in all different sizes. So the most that we can do is make our size ranges more inclusive. Even if you're adding a couple more sizes as a designer, I think that's a really great step in the right direction.
Yes, absolutely. And that was my thought too, about the word inclusive, is just being mindful about how we use that word, because we want to make sure that we acknowledge that, like you said, even up to a size 30 is not necessarily including everybody.
No, it definitely isn't. And that goes for anything. It's not just sizing. It's like, you're never going to be fully inclusive.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you can always do more to be inclusive. And then the other thing she was asking about is repurchasing. And I do think it's really nice when people can just download those patterns for free, the new versions, if you've past purchased something. The way that I've set it up, that's the case if you've bought it before you get it, the new one. But I am purely a digital shop, so it's a little easier for me to facilitate that. But I just wanted to say, for any designers out there listening, that my relaunches of my patterns this year have been as good as pattern launches for new patterns. So relaunching and redeveloping my patterns in my new size range has actually paid off financially quite well. So I do think that even though you might feel like you're giving you're putting on all this effort and people are going to get the new thing for free, there's all of these new customers that are going to come on board. And if you have a sale to re-promote your past designs, it's like this great opportunity to be like, hey, remember this pattern, and highlight the things about it that are current and just get people thinking about it again. And in my experience, it has paid off for sure.
That is awesome to hear, because I think indie designers have talked about that. Like, is it going to pay off? It is an expensive endeavor. It's a long endeavor. It's a ton of work. But hearing that it's been worth it and that it's paid off for you is really awesome and exciting. It's what we hoped for. It's what we wanted.
So. Exactly. Yay. It's really fun to revisit old designs too. I'm having a blast doing it.
Yeah, exactly. You get to remind people about those designs that maybe are forgotten and kind of put those pictures on your feet again.
Exactly. Reshare things. So thank you, Abigail, for your thoughts. And I'm glad that you like what I'm doing.
Yes. Okay, so our next question is from Angie. Should I read it?
Sure.
What are your favorite patterns to make with mid to lightweight linen? I've recently come across some beautiful and soft, what I think is cotton linen blend at my local discount fabric store. I'm relatively new to garment sewing, so I'd love to know what beginner-ish patterns you recommend making with this.
Ooh, wow.
Angie, we love mid to lightweight linen.
I think that's what everyone's loving these days.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of it in fabric stores, and there's a lot of patterns to go along with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So some patterns that came to mind for me as beginner friendly, the Lubox top from Sew DIY. Mm-hmm. Really simple. She has awesome instructions. There's a few different versions. So you can do a top, you can do a dress. She re-released it fairly recently, and there's even a cuffed and not cuffed version now. So really good beginner pattern, simple design, awesome in a linen. Mm-hmm. I've made many Lubox tops in linen. Jenny shorts. You made a pair of linen Jenny shorts last summer, didn't you?
They are my favorite shorts. I made them in orange midweight linen. And then I have another pair cut out in the Elmwood midweight linen. So I'm just going to duplicate because I seriously cannot get enough of those shorts.
You also made a striped pair, remember?
Yeah.
The blue striped pair?
Oh, yeah, that's true. This will be my third Jenny shorts. Mm-hmm. I'm into it.
Obviously, you have designed some patterns that are amazing for midweight linen. So the York pinafore and the Yanta overalls, I think, are great options. And your instructions are killer. So not to toot your horn, but
I'm
tooting your horn.
Thank you.
And then finally, my last suggestion would be the Willow Tank from Grainline Studio. Really simple, boxy tank, doesn't use up a lot of fabric. Mm-hmm. Grainline also has really great instructions for beginners. And I think it's a crowd pleaser for a pattern.
For sure. And she just released that new pattern, the uniform tunic. I feel like that one would work well in a midweight linen too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say just look for those clean, simple lines and go for it. Enjoy that linen.
Enjoy that linen.
Embrace the wrinkles.
Kind of feel like linen works for everything.
It's true. It does. I only want to make things in linen these days.
I guess not jeans, but you know.
All right. So we have a question from Nancy. You want to read that one?
Sure. She wants to know, when you stay stitch, like a neckline or armhole, how far from the edge do you sew? This is a great question. My rule that I learned is that you do it just inside your seam allowance. So about an eighth of an inch inside what your seam allowance is. So for your neckline, if it's 3/8 of an inch, then you would stay stitch at 1/4 inch. Or if it's 5/8 of an inch, then you would stay stitch at 1/2 inch, because you want those stabilizing stitches to be as close to the seam line as possible so that they're stabilizing the area, but you don't want them to show when you actually go to sew that area. So they'll be on the inside. So you'll never have to worry about taking them out or doing anything with them really.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks, good. Nancy.
Okay. Let's get to today's topic.
20 minutes into the episode.
Today, we're going to talk about copying your clothes.
Yeah.
I love this topic.
Me too. I think it's really fun. I've definitely done this a few times.
Same.
And there are a few different ways to go about it. So we thought we would dive into this topic today. I don't know if it's going to be a super long episode, but we'll definitely point you to some resources. And I feel like we all have those things in our wardrobe that we've purchased and that we just love and we can't part with. And sometimes you don't even realize how important those things are until they get worn out. And then you're like, what happened to that perfect black tank top that I wore with everything? And now it's all worn out and I can't find a pattern that matches it. It's just not the same. It was just so perfect the way it was. You can copy that garment. You can just recreate it because you are a magical stitch witch and you have the power.
Yes, you can. The other cool thing that we're going to talk about today is the fact that you can even copy your clothes without cutting them up and ruining them.
Exactly. So if you have something you love that's still working for you, you don't have to cut it up in order to copy it. And we're going to teach you how to do that. And this whole process is commonly referred to as rubbing off a garment or rubbing off ready to wear. So you can try Googling rubbing off ready to wear, or copying your clothes is another common term that I've seen out there for your further research on the topic.
Now I have a question.
Yes.
Is it okay to copy your clothes? Like, ethically?
This is a great question. I think that if you can't replace the garment that you love, if it's something that's been in your wardrobe for a while and you can't just go and purchase a replacement from the designer or whoever you got it from in the first place, then making a recreation of that for yourself to wear and love is totally okay. But if maybe you bought something from a designer and they have like a solid collection of things that they carry all the time, and you could replace that garment by purchasing a second one from that designer, then in that case, I think maybe you should consider at least purchasing again from them. And also, rubbing off ready-to-wear garments and then creating patterns to sell to other people is where the line is drawn, because designers are artists and you can't just copy something, take someone else's work, claim it as your own, and then sell it to other people. That is copyright infringement. It's the definition of it. So that is where the line is drawn. Recreating like a vintage item or something you found at a thrift store for yourself, and you know, maybe you make a few tweaks, and so it ends up being different anyways in the end.
One thing I would also add, because you were mentioning like if you can replace it, then replace it, but I feel like if it's something that's like fast fashion that possibly could get replaced, but maybe you don't want to support those fast fashion brands anymore, I think that's also an area where, I mean, copy away.
Right? If you have like your favorite Old Navy tank that you think you could recreate using some jersey in your stash, go for it. Sorry, Old Navy.
I'm not that sorry.
All right. So we are going to be talking about copying mostly physical garments today. So how to take those things from your wardrobe and copy them. But you can also rub off ready-to-wear looks by taking an image that you maybe found on Pinterest as your inspiration, and then using patterns that are on the market to recreate that look. And this is so much fun. I've been seeing a few people on Instagram doing this regularly.
Yes, I love this idea. I love the inspiration. I love watching people do this. I think it's super, super fun. For me, Tori from the Doing Things blog comes to mind, because she has been doing that a lot recently, where she'll take an image from Pinterest and kind of recreate it with her own fabrics and patterns. And then she'll even take a photo of her posing in the same way as the photo that she used as a guideline, and it's just really, really fun and inspiring to see. So love Tori for that. Terry Dodds also, we'll link all of these accounts in the show notes obviously, but she also does that, and she's really awesome at it too. And there's a whole Instagram account dedicated to finding patterns that match ready-to-wear looks, and it is Paper Bag Waste. I think we've mentioned her on the show before, but she does an amazing job of getting ready-to-wear inspiration, finding the matching pattern. She puts them side by side so you can really see that those design elements are the same, and such a fun, inspiring account to follow.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a little treasure hunt to find the perfect pattern to match the garment that you see online. I love it.
I wonder how much time she spends on that, because she's like really good at it.
She must have just an encyclopedic knowledge of patterns.
Yeah.
Because she also includes Big Four, which opens up the pool hugely. And vintage patterns too. Yeah. So it's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. So some other suggestions, if you want to check out this type of inspiration for kind of copying ready to wear with existing sewing patterns, there's the hashtag #SewReadyToWearStyle that you can follow on Instagram. And the Fold Line, Kate from the Fold Line, also does these vlogs called Sew the Trends. And she actually goes out and shops the high streets and takes a bunch of photos. And then she sort of gets a feel for what's going to be trendy. And then she goes home and matches sewing patterns so that you can sew the season's trends. And I think that is awesome.
It's brilliant. I remember chatting with her about that, because we did interview her on the show, and she was saying how embarrassing it is to go to all the shops with her camera and take pictures. And yeah, she's really putting herself out there for our benefit. So thank you, Kate.
Yeah, she does a really, really good job. I just watched one of her more recent ones, and it's very inspiring.
Yeah. I like the hashtag so ready to wear style. It's so RTW style. There's only, I think, about 1500 hashtags on there, but I feel like that hashtag could really blow up if more people started using it. So check it out for sure.
And you can also look at garments in your wardrobe and recreate them using patterns that you have. You don't necessarily have to go and find inspiration for that. Maybe start with your TNT, see if there's something that you could tweak to get the same look. Listen to our You Can Hack It episode and try it out yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And if you need recommendations, if you want to recreate a certain look or you have something in your wardrobe, you want to find the right pattern that matches that, you can try the Sewing SOS hashtag that we talked about in a previous episode, where it's a place where you can go and ask for advice from the community. So you can ask the hive mind there and see if anyone has some suggestions for you for what pattern you might use to make something.
Okay, so we're going to talk about a couple of different methods that you can use to rub off your ready-to-wear garment. And the first one is to actually cut up the original garment. And that way you can press all of your pieces flat and just trace them out.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is probably the easier way of the two.
Yeah, and it makes a lot of sense if the garment that you want to recreate is worn out.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. If you can't wear it anymore, then why not cut it up and copy it?
Exactly.
You probably want to wash this garment prior to cutting it up. That's like my first top tip, because you know, when you wear stuff, especially older garments, the spandex might not be as strong anymore. It's lost its elasticity. Maybe you've worn them a ton, they'll stretch out or bag out in the bum or the knees or the elbows. So washing and drying that garment is going to make everything sort of suck in, and just like it's going to shrink up a little bit, and it'll be in the perfect state for you to cut it up and start tracing it. So you don't want to cut up a garment that you've worn a ton and haven't washed.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And don't worry, you don't have to unpick the whole thing. We're not suggesting you get your seam ripper and take the whole thing apart. You can actually just cut along the seam lines, and then you'll add the seam allowance in again after you've traced out the garment. So that's the easiest way to do it. Not worry about unpicking all the seams. And for details like plackets, what you can do, because it can be a little tricky to cut up a placket and get a pattern piece for that, is to use details like sleeve plackets or collars from another pattern, from an existing TNT that you know and love, and then meld your rub off with that pattern so you get elements that you can use from both.
Yes. And my other recommendation is to take construction notes as you go. It's actually really fun sometimes to cut up an existing garment. And once you actually cut all the pieces and lay them out and trace them out, you can actually kind of dissect your garment and go in and like cut into it, cut through the seams, see how they finish their seams. What kind of fusible interfacing did they use? Maybe there's a cool finish that you can't actually see from the outside, but once you cut it up, you can sort of see how it was made, and that will give you ideas for how you're going to construct it when you actually sew it up yourself.
Yeah, you can also backwards engineer your own instruction booklet as you cut it up. Be like, okay, this piece obviously went on last, so I'll cut that one off first, and then you kind of write out the instructions from the end to the beginning.
Yes, yeah. Totally. So you can do this. I think it wouldn't take very long, and really, like we said, the process is just cutting it up, laying out your pieces, tracing around them, and then you're going to want to have a ruler with a grid so that you can add on your seam allowance to every single piece. Mm-hmm. It's also great because you can decide how much seam allowance you want to add. I guess for both of these methods, that's the case. But if you really love sewing with a 3/8 inch seam allowance, only add 3/8 inch. There are no rules. You're making up your own rules as you go along. So.
Some people are going to really enjoy that and others not so much.
Yes. And then when you're finished and you have this garment that's cut up into all these different pieces, you can cut it up and make it into rags when you're done. Mm-hmm. Or you can donate those pieces to a textile recycling initiative, or you can use them as stuffing in a pillow or a poof. There's mm-hmm. lots of things that you can do with
fabric
scraps.
You can take off things like buttons and zippers and reuse them if they're still in good shape.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So an alternative to cutting up your garment is to copy the pieces while the garment is still intact. And yes, it can be done. It's a little daunting, but you just take it one area at a time with the garment. So you're focusing on one area at a time. And the method that is used for this is a pin method, where you are laying out your garment and you're using pins to hold it in place while you trace it out. So for supplies, you will need some pins. Big quilting pins work well because they are long and sharp and they have a larger head, so they're good for pinning straight down because we're actually going to be pinning into a pinnable surface. So you also need something you can pin into. You don't need anything fancy. You can use a piece of cardboard or foam core. You can use a pinnable cutting mat. large cork board. People have used ceiling tiles. You can even use your bed if you're in a pinch, because you can pin right into your mattress. So get creative. Don't be shy. Just give it a try with whatever you have on hand. Of course, you'll need paper. You can just use some regular old craft paper, newspaper, whatever you've got. And then a gridded ruler and a curved ruler, ideally, but you can also freehand the curves.
Mm-hmm. If you're feeling adventurous.
Yeah, exactly.
That never goes well for me.
So we're going to do our best to describe this method for you, but it honestly is a little easier to understand if you check it out online. So we're also going to point you in the direction of some resources. But tell us how it all works, Caroline.
Okay. So the first step is that you're going to lay all of your paper down on that surface, that pinnable surface that we talked about. So lay out your paper nice and flat, make sure everything is looking smooth. And then the first thing you want to do is find the center line of your garment. So you can fold your garment in half and then go over to your ironing board, press that center line so that you have a nice crease there and you can find your center line that way when you're going to copy it. And then once you are ready to actually start tracing, you're going to decide what part of the garment you want to start with first, probably the front or the back piece, the main piece. And then you're going to lay your garment down and isolate the pattern piece that you want to trace first. So that basically means you're just like laying it down on the piece of paper, smoothing it out, making sure that as much as possible, there are no wrinkles in there. And then what is the next step, Helen?
Well, you can draw a couple of lines on your paper so that you have somewhere to orient yourself. So you can draw a baseline and a vertical line. So you have a bit of an L shape. And then that's where you can line up, you know, that center front or back line that you were talking about pressing, just so you have somewhere to orient yourself. And then you start pinning. So you'll put a pin, you know, somewhere, probably maybe the bottom, center, back, or front. And then you'll start pinning your piece down. You're basically going to be flattening out, smoothing, and pinning as you go. And the pins are what's marking the paper underneath. So you're not going to fill in the lines. It's sort of like a connect the dots drawing when you're done. You're going to fill in the lines after, but the pins are what's going to show you where those lines are going to go. So you want to carefully place your pins, as many pins as you need. To start with, you'll probably use more. And as you get comfortable doing this, you'll be able to use less. And you're going to mark everything around the outside of a pattern piece and also any design elements like darts or pleats or pockets. The more complicated the pattern is, the trickier it does get. And that's why we do recommend taking an e-course, or there's a book that we can also recommend for this method to help deal with some more tricky bits. But if you're starting off with copying a t-shirt or something, this is a great way to do that. You don't have to worry about darts and things like that.
Yeah. And keep in mind that the rest of your garment is going to feel like it's getting in the way when you're laying out this piece, but you really want to just try to isolate that one part that you're tracing in this moment and ignore the rest. It might be folded and weird, but you really just want to make sure that that one piece is straight and smooth. And one thing that we forgot to mention is finding the warp threads on your garment. So This is a really great way to determine the grain line of the piece that you're tracing. Obviously, like a front and back bodice, it's pretty obvious because the center crease line is generally going to be your grain line of your fabric. But if you're working with a piece that maybe you're not quite sure which way the grain is going, get really up close and try to isolate the warp thread, which is the thread that's running, you know, parallel to the selvage in your fabric. And then you can baste a line of stitching along that thread so that you know, this is my grain line.
Yeah, that can be really handy as you go along, and just to make sure that you're not getting off grain. You do have to take your time with this procedure. And with that in mind, you mentioned that the rest of the garment's going to seem like it's getting in the way. If that is the case, you can do two areas at a time. You could just do the lower half of the front bodice, pin it all around, and then basically remove all of the pins up to, you know, the top two in the middle, and then do the top half so you can kind of move things around as you go. Same thing with sleeves. Obviously, sleeves are connected. They're a loop, so you're not going to be able to trace them. You'll have to do one half and then the other half. So you'll want to press your sleeve perfectly flat and then fold it over and do one half and then the other. So it is a little time consuming, but think at the end, you will have a perfect replica of your favorite garment, which is pretty priceless.
Yeah, definitely. I would say start small with this. So like start with a simple garment, like a t-shirt or a boxy top, whether it's knits or wovens. I think definitely you want to start simple and then go from there. So once you have finished pinning all around your piece, you can remove all of your pins and then trace along those pinholes. So those pinholes are, like Helen said, going to be like a connect the dots. You just trace all the way around those pinholes, and then you can add your seam allowance and any other markings that you want to add to the pattern. So for example, you're going to want to put cut on fold if there's a center line there, describe the pattern piece, maybe size or maybe your measurements at that time so that you can remember when you copied that. And whether, you know, in a few years, if it's still going to fit you or not, grain line, notches, if you want to add notches to help you along.
And then lastly, you want to add your seam allowance. So in order to do that for straight areas, you can use your gridded ruler. Those are really handy for that. For any curves, it's kind of nice to use your seam gauge. So you just set it to whatever seam allowance you want to use. And you just kind of move it along the curve and make little tick marks with your pencil where your seam allowance is going to be. And then you can add in your seam allowance curve after, and you'll have something that's hopefully uniform distance from the edge of your pattern.
Yeah. And if you have like a drafting gridded ruler, one with the really tiny grids, not a quilting one, but more of a pattern making one, then you can add seam allowances with that too, because the grid, I think, is like a quarter inch all the way across the ruler. And so you can really see those markings and just kind of line up the ruler in the way that you want it, and then sort of trace along and move it along the curve.
Yeah.
So if you just have a ruler, you don't have a seam gauge, that works too.
Yeah. So you'll continue this method for each piece in the garment, pinning, tracing, and then adding your seam allowances. And remember, most of the time, you'll only have to do half of a garment. You're only going to do half the bodice front, half the bodice back, one of the sleeves. You know, you don't have to trace all of the garment just like you would with a regular sewing pattern. And the more familiar you are with sewing patterns in general and the shapes that they make and how they're constructed, the easier this process will be too.
Yeah. And we gave the tip with the last method that if you have a pattern piece for a placket or maybe a front fly, you would want to reuse that pattern piece. And I think the same goes for this method, because for example, a front fly, there's all these different pieces and a lot of them get trimmed down. So it's a little bit hard to draft a piece based on a ready-to-wear garment when you're talking about those like more intricate construction methods. So go back and try to find like a front fly that you really like that works for you and base your pattern off of that for this garment that you're copying.
Making like a little Franken pattern.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a lot of information for this episode, especially this particular method, from Stephanie Lincecum, and she has a blueprint series all about how to do this. It's really good, very detailed. She gives you everything you need to know, and she does it on a vintage blouse that has pleats and tucks and darts and gathers and all of these different design elements, and she totally tells you how to handle all of them, which is amazing. So if you're interested in doing this for a more complex garment, highly recommend her blueprint course, and she has a corresponding book, which is Pattern Making for a Perfect Fit. So we'll link all of that in the show notes if you want to learn more about this method. I love blueprint. It's actually really, really amazing.
I know. We do refer to it a lot for episodes.
Yeah.
We? Yeah.
There's so some great stuff on there.
They should sponsor us.
Yeah.
Okay. So we also have some YouTube videos that we're going to link in the show notes. There's one that is David Page Coffin rubbing off a button-up shirt, and it's really, really good. It's sort of a different vibe than some of the other tutorials that we found. There's no sound, but you get to watch him do the whole thing from start to finish on like a high speed, so you can sort of see his method. Mimi G also has a video on copying your favorite t-shirt, and that one, of course, is in the style of Mimi G. Super informative, also really fun to watch, very well filmed. So we'll link that one for you guys, because that's a good one if you're just starting out with the basics and you just want to do a simple tee.
Yeah, tee is a great place to start. And we also have some tips for you for rubbing off ready-to-wear success. So number one is start simple. We do recommend that you start with a t-shirt or maybe a pair of undies, something like that, that you want to copy. And another really important tip is to choose a similar fabric. So it's not going to be like your original garment that you know and love unless it is made out of a similar fabric.
Yeah, this is especially true for fabrics that have stretch in them. So if you're copying a t-shirt, you want to make sure that the stretch percentage is similar or at least stretchier than the garment that you're copying. Because if you're using a fabric that is less stretchy, then chances are that garment is going to end up being tight on you when you actually sew it up in the fabric that you picked. Same thing with like stretch jeans, let's say something that has spandex, you want to try to test out that fabric, make sure it has a similar stretch as the original garment. And then pay attention to the weight of the fabric, because weight can be a huge factor in the fit of a garment. So don't try to make a lightweight top out of like a really heavyweight fabric when you're trying to copy it. You want to just sort of try to match those weights as well.
Perfect. And you want to add lots of markings too, because the more information, the better. So especially if you're using the pin method, as I said, use as many pins as you need to when you're getting started with this and mark everything. If you think to yourself, should I mark that? The answer is 100% yes. Just mark everything you can, because as I said, the more information, the better.
And then expect that you may have to adjust in the end to get that perfect fit. So the first time you rub off a garment, it might not come out perfect, again, because of fabric choice or maybe accuracy, but try it out, make a muslin maybe, and then you can tweak the fit and make it perfect.
Yeah, just like a sewing pattern.
Just make it perfect.
All right. Have you ever rubbed off a ready-to-wear garment?
Yes. The one that comes to mind for me is I had this pair of Gap jeans that I loved and wore all the time. And I definitely did this when I moved to Vancouver. So I want to say maybe 7 or 8 years ago. They were worn out and I didn't want to go out and buy another pair of jeans from the Gap. So I cut them up, traced them. I did the cutting method because they were completely worn out, and it worked really well. I think the dicey part was the front fly, like I said, which is why I gave that tip to use existing pieces, because yeah. I was also like, I hadn't really discovered indie patterns and like I was a bit rusty from pattern drafting in school. So I was just kind of like, oh, this winging it about right, and my fly was a little wonky, but hey, live and learn.
That's awesome. I feel like I was trying to think if I had ready to wear jeans that I could cut up, but I don't anymore.
Yeah.
So I can just use the patterns I used to make my jeans already.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't think I've done a ton otherwise. When I was a kid, I definitely used to just like take, when I first started sewing, I would just like take a t-shirt that fit me and literally just like put it on fabric and just like cut around it. Like yeah. Not even paying attention to armholes.
Not even
like,
chalking it out first.
Oh, no. Just cut directly on the fabric. No, like, unfold. I just like put the t-shirt down.
Were you on grain at least?
Who knows? I was like 11.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that is another option.
Yeah.
Things like a t-shirt, you're probably going to end up with something wearable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Knits are forgiving, right?
Yeah.
What about you?
I've definitely rubbed off some things. I am having a hard time thinking of exactly the thing.
I feel like there was like a boxy tee that I was like, that's cute. And you're like, yeah, I copied it from ready to wear. Or maybe it was just something that you drafted yourself. Or like a knit tank.
You can't think of anything. Yeah, I mean, I definitely take inspiration from ready to wear things in my closet for patterns, not copying them outright. But, you know, there's things that I love to wear and those often make the best pattern designs because there's a reason why you love them. You know, like the Blackwood cardigan was inspired by an Urban Outfitters cardigan that I bought that was like 15 years old and I used to wear it all the time. And it was just this beautiful long line open front cardigan that had extra long sleeves. And I was like, that should be a pattern. So, you know, not copying it directly from the ready to wear garment, but taking inspiration from that. And we were talking with Adriana on her episode about how she loves to take inspiration from Madewell for her designs. And you can definitely see correlations between designers and where they get their inspiration from and the kinds of things they like to make. So it is really fun to have something in your closet that you really love spark an idea for a larger project and something that you want to take to a sewing pattern.
Yeah. And it's so valuable, I think, to find those pieces that you know work really well for you. And then you can hack them and you can change them up and you can switch up the neckline or the sleeve length or the body length or
exactly the keep width what you like. Them. Don't do what you don't like.
Exactly. And I feel like if you listeners out there try out rubbing off ready to wear, it's like a little intro to pattern drafting, and I think you're going to find it really empowering to be able to create your own garment from something that wasn't there before other than in ready to wear.
Yeah, exactly.
So go forth and copy your clothes, have fun,
let us know how it goes.
Yeah, let us know how it goes. Hopefully you will be very successful. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helensclosset.ca.
And don't forget to take our survey so we can learn more about you. You can find it in the show notes, the newsletter, and in our Instagram profile.
We're recording today in sunny Vancouver, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
And if you're loving the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. If you contribute $5 or more a month, you'll get access to our bonus episode feed, and we just launched a new June bonus episode last week, so come on over and join us for our monthly catch-up at patreon.com/lovetosew.
Our show is produced by Sam Humphrey.
Thank you, Sam.
And thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I do that. I'm so not used to being in charge of
them. I love that you were like, the first one is from Lara, just waiting for me to do it.